Our second scripture lesson comes from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 16, beginning at the first verse. Exodus 16 and verse 1. Hear the word of God. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because the Lord has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against the Lord, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for the Lord has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.' The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted." This is the word of the Lord. This is my earliest memory of listening to a sermon. I was sitting in the sanctuary of the church I grew up in during worship with my parents. Sermons in that church were at the very end of the service, just before the final hymn. When it came time for the sermon, the sanctuary lights would dim and the spotlights would go up on the elevated pulpit at the front left side of the chancel. That may say more about me than you really want to know. I don't know how old I was when I heard this sermon, But I know that the pastor of the congregation left for another church in Michigan when I was in early elementary school. His name was Kirk Hudson. In Pittsburgh at the time, there was a fast food restaurant called Winkies. It was a fast food burger chain, and the name was Winkies. Remember Winkies?
Oh, yeah.
Winkies' slogan in signage and advertising was, "Winkies makes you happy to be hungry." I don't remember anything else about this sermon but this. At some point, this distinguished formal pulpiteer, wearing a Geneva gown with a clergy collar and tabs, absolutely shouted with what I remember must have been the very top of his lungs, "Nobody is ever happy to be hungry." Bernie Flynn is the CEO of Mercer Street Friends. And he shared sobering news that Lauren alluded to earlier in the service, sobering news this week with various nonprofit partners throughout Mercer County who operate hunger, housing, and anti-poverty programs. The federal government has cut $26 million from the grants and funding that comes to the state of New Jersey, much of it intended for social services. There have been significant cuts to Feeding America, which supplies the bulk of food distributed from food banks. There is a continuing resolution before Congress to significantly cut SNAP benefits. For every 10 charitable meals provided in this country, 9 of them come through SNAP. And you may have read there is also a proposal to raise the qualifying threshold for publicly funded breakfasts and lunches in public schools, drastically reducing the number of eligible students. Nobody is ever happy to be hungry. One of the tasks of the preacher week in and week out is to bring the world to bear on unsuspecting biblical texts. Rather than attempt to translate the strange old world of the Bible for the contemporary listener, a preacher who brings the world to bear on a text is seeking that living word for both the preacher and the hearers of the word. And with that in mind, and mindful of all going on in the country and in the world, I don't see how we can read Exodus 16. As same old, same old. In my past reading of the story of manna from heaven, and my past preaching of the story of manna from heaven, my eyes have typically been drawn to the complaint. On the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron. The word in Hebrew is more like murmured. Some scholars write about the murmuring motif or the murmuring tradition. But then, nobody is ever happy to be hungry. The Lord hears the people's murmuring. When they are thirsty, in the next chapter, when Moses goes to the rock with his staff, Moses goes to the Lord first on behalf of the murmuring people. But here, in the 16th chapter, the Lord makes the first move in response to the people's hunger. God tells Moses that bread will rain from heaven and the people will gather enough for the day, twice as much on the sixth day. And Moses and Aaron then gather all the people. In the evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord. As Aaron spoke, the people look toward the wilderness, and they see the glory of the Lord appear in the cloud. And the Lord tells Moses, "At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, the quail came in abundance. The next morning, the people awoke to a fine, flaky substance as fine as frost on the ground. In the dawn of the day, no one knew what it was. Moses told the people of Israel, "It's the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Or as Moses and Aaron told them the day before, "In the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because the Lord has heard your murmuring." What is described next by the narrator is so easy to miss when your focus is on the complaining. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, some gathering more, some gathering less. Those who gathered much had nothing left over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. Here in Exodus 16, there's a loaves and fishes kind of moment going on. Not the 12 baskets full left over, but all ate and were filled. Here in Exodus 16, there's an Acts chapter 2 post-Pentecost kind of moment going on, a community taking care of one another. All have enough: the evening quail, the morning glory bread, just enough for all. Gathering as much as each one needed, twice as much on the sixth day, the people resting on the seventh day. 40 years of meat and bread in the wilderness, 40 years of God hearing, 40 years of God providing, and right here at the beginning, just a glimpse of life together for the people of God, the life together for the people of God that God intends, God and God's beloved on the way to the promised land. And there at that first manna breakfast, Moses gave some further instruction. It doesn't say whether Moses spoke before, during, or after breakfast. I'm imagining Moses spoke before everyone began to eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it until morning." You get the gist, right? Give us today our daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let today's worry be enough for today. No squirreling away, no hoarding, no storing up treasure, no pulling down barns just to build bigger barns, no sneaking more so others have less, no messing with the loaves and fishes balance, no putting self above community, no forgetting of the most vulnerable, no serving God and mammon because you will be devoted to one and despise the other, no turning from the face of Jesus in the face of the least of these. Let no one leave any until morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning. They did not listen, and some left part of it till morning. That's a strange way to say it in the text. They and some. They did not listen makes it sound like everyone did not listen. But only some tried to save some for later. But the manna didn't keep. It bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Presumably angry with those who kept the sum, who kept for the morning. And when it came to gathering twice as much on the sixth day so you can rest on the Sabbath again, some of the people went to gather and found none. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and instructions?" "I don't know, Lord. It was only some. Not all the people. Maybe some were still so hungry they had trouble listening." Here in Exodus 16, not only a glimpse of the community of faith that God intends for God's people, but also a lasting image of what it means to be human and how hard it is to fully trust in God and how easy it is for the old sinful self to run over the new self that God desires. The manna bred worms and became foul. That's just nasty. The takeaway this week, is not about the murmuring. God hears the people and responds with the promise. At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. The takeaway is more about the old self, humanity's ever-present sinfulness. Some, not all, turning from God's commands and threatening the community of kindness and concern that God intends. Threatening the community God calls us to be, God invites us to be. Some, seeing visions of God's justice, and yet some, not all, repeatedly returning to a care only for self and self-interest. Hearing of God's expectation of care for all, while some, not all, work to cause division and spark mistrust, watching as the kingdom life turns foul. Receiving the gospel promise of the life eternal and life abundant, and then some, not all, wrongly concluding that salvation is just about their seat at the banquet table. Hearing about the parable of the Good Samaritan and Jesus' call to go and do likewise, and then some, not all, demonizing nameless immigrant workers, faceless federal employees, and lab-coated researchers. Maybe the takeaway is how quickly visions of kingdom life God intends can be torn apart by the some, not the all, who want to save more for themselves than making sure everyone had their fill. Feasting on the words of the Apostle Paul, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, and then some, not all, drawing boundary lines that perpetrate stereotypes and prolong bigotry and passing hate to yet another generation. Saying amen when the words of the prophet Amos are read on Sunday. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And then some, not all, on Monday, doing absolutely everything to preserve their own power and privilege. Setting aside manna for themselves, a lot more manna than just for the next day. It's not about the complaint. You and I, we rise each day feasting afresh on God's glory, knowing that the Lord requires us to do justice and to love kindness and walk humbly with our God, only to realize that sometime after breakfast, how easy it is to melt into a world where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, a world full of empires and voices that try to convince us that we had better grab all the stuff that we can so we can save it for the morning. Manna from heaven. It's a glimpse of the community God intends, a testimony to how God hears and God provides. It's not about the complaint. It's about how easy it is to breed worms. Amen.